You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 132 of the Wisdom by Wessa show on the Horse Radio Network. This is Mike Donnell.
I'm Casey Wilbanks-Paletti.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This podcast is brought to you by the Western and English Sales Association, WESA, which provides the world's largest trade events for retailers, manufacturers, and sales representatives of the equestrian industry. In this podcast, we feature exclusive interviews with noteworthy Western and English personalities, retailers, and exhibitors who you've always wanted to talk to. Don't miss out on all the news for manufacturers and retailers in the equine industry. We have briefly mentioned Wes's annual benefit golf tournament before, but I hear you guys have added new events. Sophia, can you tell us more?
Yes. A few months ago, we mentioned that the tournament will be held at Topgolf again, but some of the attendees may want to practice a swing or two ahead of time. So one of our themed parties is going to be the Putt for Party, which is our Topgolf ticket challenge and a really fun and interactive event that we're all looking forward to.
Oh, this sounds like something I need. I need all the practice I can get. Sounds like fun, but where and when will that be?
So that will be on Thursday, August 15th, and you can join us by the atrium on the 11th floor. You'll find a golf simulator and a putting challenge set up, and that's actually to win two tickets to the benefit golf tournament happening later that day. Otherwise, you can also just mingle and enjoy the party with complimentary food and drinks.
So fun. What other parties will you be hosting?
The other parties sponsored by WESA are the opening night party, of course, where retailers can win gift certificates on August 14th. And then on August 16th, we will host a Sangria Sundown party. And again, you'll find all of the events listed in the WESA brochure that was mailed online at wesatradeshow.com and, of course, the WESA Trade Show app.
Back in the 1980s, Kelly Hurd's mother had retired and began designing jewelry. When Kelly graduated from college, she asked him to help her grow the business. The company started producing its own jewelry in the 90s. Now, decades later, the Kelly Hurd jewelry name is one of the best known in the equestrian jewelry industry. Kelly joins us to share these thoughts on designing and marketing jewelry today. Hey, Kelly Hurd, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the Wisdom by Wessa podcast.
Hey, you're welcome. It's great to be here, Mike.
I'm really glad you came. Of course, if you've been around Wessa, you've been around the Western industry at all. The name Kelly Hurd Jewelry is somewhat familiar. But for those who may have heard the name, but they don't know the backstory, if you will, the creation and founding and growth of the company, why don't you give us a little bit of history?
Well, it really started out as a family business with my mother back in the early 80s while I was still in college. Fantastic woman. She had retired as a manager from Sears in Tennessee and had moved back with my dad out in Texas while he was working his nuclear engineer job and was just bored. And wound up going over to the World Trade Center where we're at now with all our shows and getting a handful of trinkets to sell to the people he worked with. And then when I got out of school in the mid-80s and did a little time in the Army, she asked if I'd help take her small business into a bigger business. And so we did. And we started our own jewelry manufacturing around 92, created our own designs, and have been in the Western market since then. We actually started as a high-end retail manufacturer of jewelry where we just sold high-end gold. We sold pieces up to $250,000.
Wow.
It was at the time in the mid to late 90s, a buyer from Rod's Western Palace came by and said, hey, can you make these things for us in silver? And we had plenty of calls before, but not really from a bigger player like Rod's. And so we transitioned to what we were doing. At the time, we made very little silver and transitioned to what we did and got into Wessa and Ada and got to be with all those other retailers. And now we sell to about 1,000 stores globally. And the primary thing we sell to them is silver. So you'll see the Kelly Herd brand in every state, all over Canada, all over Australia and Western Europe. And you'll see our silver designs that we have created some in the past year and some we've created 35 years ago that never go out of style.
Well, the design clearly, I mean, obviously the craftsmanship is what I guess is one of the things you really look for in your items, but the creativity goes along with the craftsmanship, and that's where you have to continually stay abreast of which way the market is going. How do you go about deciding on the creativity side? I know if people visit your website, they'll see the craftsmanship, but the creativity comes from people like you who are trying to come up with something you think may last 35 years or may be really good for two or three, but everybody wants it. And to me, that's got to be the competitive edge in your business.
Well, one of the things that separates us is that when we create something, we really concentrate on, the craftsmanship and the making of that piece so it does last forever. And a lot of our inspirations actually come from the people that we deal with. We do a lot of things for different organizations. We do a lot of things for different individuals. And over the years, we have been around the horse industry for 30, 40 some odd years since the 80s. And we know what goes on in that show arena. And we have a pretty good idea and a pretty good eye of what they like. And it's worked out well for us.
I would say it really has. I do a little research. I found a source that says the U.S. market for jewelry as an industry is expected to grow more than 4% a year from now through maybe 2030. Do you see that same kind of a growth in your segment of the business?
Well, you know, I come from the jewelry industry and also have horses too, but we do see growth potential in what we're doing by all means. And a lot of it has to do with the style of jewelry that we have. We don't sell inexpensive jewelry. Our brand has developed into a high-end luxury brand of equestrian jewelry. And that market has almost unlimited potential.
Even in current economic times?
Even in current economic times.
And so you attribute that to what, Kelly?
People that have dollars will still have dollars. They're going to be maybe more conservative with it. And then people that want quality pieces of jewelry, like quality piece of furniture or quality vehicle or quality this or that, know it's going to last and something they can pass on to their kids. And that's one of the reasons that they have no problem buying something because they know they're getting the quality piece of jewelry that they expect from Kelly Herd.
Not only enjoyment, it's an investment.
It can be very much so. I mean, this week alone, we'll sell $40,000, $50,000 worth of jewelry, and it's just in two or three pieces. Whether it's a young bride getting a brand new ring or a guy who has been a customer of mine for 30 years that's got his 25th anniversary coming up and he's going to surprise his wife. So
you will do individual custom pieces with enough lead time?
We do, yeah. Yeah, and the lead time's not that long. We usually can get something turned around 30 to 45 days for them. Absolutely.
Now, do they normally come to you with an idea? Or do they say, gee, I really want a quality piece for my spouse or my daughter or whoever? Or do they basically want you to come up with what the creative side is going to look like?
So the primary example would be they say, look, I've got this event that comes into my life very soon, whether it's a wedding, whether it is an anniversary or a birthday. And they'll say, hey, she really likes this type of thing. And so I'm telling them, I say, look, tell me what she likes of this particular ring and tell me what she likes of that other particular ring that she had maybe had been looking at. And then I can combine those pieces together into a CAD drawing and we'll send that sketch to them and make any changes we need to make at that time during the sketch. We'll have it all laid out in the measurements, say a finger size, the size of the diamond, whether it's 1 carat, 2 carat, 3 carat in the center, anything it's going to be enhanced with. Or if it's their particular horse that we're making, then the nuances of their horse, whether it's a certain marking, whether it's their socks, whether it's where their tail always goes or their mane goes, then we can bring out those points in their particular horse. So I tell people all the time, if you got a five-year-old, you want a picture sitting on your horse, we can make the five-year-old look like your five-year-old and make your two-year-old horse look like your two-year-old horse. That's not a problem. Just give us a little something, a little guidance to go by.
Well, you mentioned something in that scenario. Now you can use technology to help bring a concept to life, which I'm sure when you started, many years ago, that wasn't the case. You used your own ingenuity and the skills of the people who help you put the jewelry together. Now you've added the layer of technology, which gets the piece closer even and gives the customer a chance to tweak it before someone sits at the bench and produces it.
Yeah, and the nice thing about what we do is we manufacture in-house. So in the olden days, back in the 90s or early 2000s, we actually had to carve the wax, and any changes we made, we had to make to the wax. Now we can do a CAD-CAM system and bring it to life through that system, make any changes we need to do at a fraction of the cost of time, and then have something that's going to look from a CAD-CAM system, go into and get it laid out through a 3D digital printer, and make the piece pop from there.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this, but I can tell people if they go to the website, the description and the process to create a piece of Kelly Hurd jewelry is explained in there, because I'm not sure, and I want to go to Casey here shortly because she has a different perspective on jewelry, but I'm not sure people know how jewelry gets made.
We try to present it very simple to the customer. And with this new technology, it works out really well for us.
So, Casey, you wear more jewelry than I do. Hop in here.
Well, you say that, but I'm looking at the men's collection right now, and I really don't see any reason why you cannot be shopping as we speak.
Well, you can buy one for me. I don't care.
For you? Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about men's jewelry, Kelly, because I think when we think of jewelry, we automatically obviously think of women, but you have a really vast and neat variety of things for men as well.
It does. And that line is expanding here in 2024. And you'll see a lot of new offerings in January at the Wesso Market coming up in 2025. But the popularity of chains now with young men, you know, I personally have worn a gold chain since I can remember. But chains, whether it's through a hip hop star or somebody on television, that model is being followed by the youth now. And by the 20 and 30 year olds, and they are all wanting something to wear around their neck. And so we've got a really nice collection for them to do it, whether it's done in a new metal of stainless steel, and we can change those colors to black, or if it's something in sterling silver, or if they want to go up and have a traditional yellow gold look, we offer all those for them.
And the tie tacks.
The tie tacks, yeah. Tie tacks are interesting because they also double as a hat pin. And a lot of our retailers sell them as hat pins, and we have a lot of hat makers that come to me and say, hey, can you put these things together for us? And we just want to be able to sell this one piece. And we do. We do a lot of that. So they'll buy 200 or 300 at a time, and they'll have their own particular hat pin style that may have their brand on it or their company logo if they want to put on their hat. And so it all works out well. But the same fundamental principles, whether it's a tie tack or a hat pin, that's basically the same, just where you wear it at.
Yeah. So cool. Well, obviously, we know you have a relationship with Wesso. I want to ask something different than we usually ask. What do you look forward to most when attending a Wesso show?
You know, it's the people, really. I've got customers there that have been around a long time and get to visit with them. And then I get to see a lot of their kids come in and take over the mom and pop businesses. Are buyers who have been with the same company for years and years and gets a chance to visit. Because I don't know if you've been to our booth or not. We have a really nice laid out booth, but our booth is more of a destination than just a place to come and see the new designs. They can sit and relax and talk and just make themselves at home. Yeah. While their buyer of the store may be doing the business, I may be sitting there with the owners of the store and just shooting the breeze.
Yeah. That's something I see really cool when I walk through the show and I kind of just take it all in. The tagline for this podcast is Wesso, where the industry meets, and really sums it up, because obviously people are doing business, but there's such a relationship thing going on between everybody. And it's really such a good time. And it's like getting together with friends, family. It's more than just business. And I just think it's like a really good point about the importance of Wesso besides just the obvious of doing business.
Well, the community itself, whether it's Wesso or the buyers there, you know, Amy, I've been friends with Amy with Wesso as long as I can remember, and has done business with her. buyers that come in from all over the country, you know, whether they're now in their 60s or 70s. I've been doing business with them for a long time, and now I do business with their kids. It is. It's just nice to go back and say hi to everybody, as well as the other people who sell things. I mean, we manufacture for saddle makers. We do other things for different clothes makers, for other people at the particular show. It's always nice to catch up with them and see what's been going on in their lives for the few months we haven't seen them between August and January.
Sure. Well, when talking with the retailers, what's the secret to marketing jewelry in general? Your jewelry, but what's the secret, you know?
Well, I tell them, we help them merchandise the product. We want them to, if they want to look like a jewelry store inside their Western store and have it presented that way, we can do that for them. We provide them with jewelry cases, displays, all that. If they have a limited amount of space, we work with their limited amount of space and the way that they merchandise. The jewelry will sell itself, but it's got to be put in an area where it's going to be caught by the consumer eye, and then it walks out the door with the buyer.
Right. What about your guys' social media? I haven't looked it up. Do you use social media a lot for marketing? Or
we do. In fact, we have a photo shoot in Texas coming up in about a week.
Cool.
We've got our own social media group in-house that does everything. I forget how many followers we have on Instagram, 20 or 30,000, something like that. But all those numbers, we're working on to increase those and putting out more content. We put out content 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of our new things that we're coming out with in turquoise.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. This show is really hurtful to my wallet. Mike needs to be the one that's shopping. And if you need a model for your content, I'm sure Mike can throw a tie on.
There we go.
Tie good. Tax.
I want to ask a question about something you mentioned earlier, and that's your international footprint.
Okay.
Talk a bit about how the international footprint came to be and how you deal with these customers around the globe.
Well, we do it on a distribution basis. So take Australia, for example. There's a company that carries several other things besides what they carry from me. And they do the same thing that I would do at WESA and sell to their particular retailers they have in country there in Australia. But those contacts actually come through WESA. So we've met them several years ago in the same way that we do in Canada and other countries is we just work through a distributor there. Now, that said, we have a big online following that buys direct from us. So we'll get orders all the time from either Canada or from Australia. And then we've moved them into that grouping to get a hold of one of our retail outlets there. But the origination of that, and I think WESA has done this really well by marketing to the international clientele, is bring those international buyers to Dallas. And then they meet with someone like myself for products that they're interested in. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Are style preferences any different in Australia than they are in Texas?
Not, they're a little bit. I mean, everybody has their own personal choice. Europe, well, you tend to wear a little bit smaller, more petite type jewelry. And if you do gold over there, sometimes they get down as low as 8 to 10 carat. I don't want to get in the weeds of all the different caratings of that globally. But we can make something typically for them in whatever, since we manufacture ourselves and carry our own metal. But it's typically Canada is about the same as US. Australia is not that much different. But Western Europe tends to wear, especially in France, tends to wear something a little more smaller, a little more petite. Truth of the matter is, in Texas, everybody wears something smaller than Texas. Texas likes to wear it big.
I would agree with that. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, the fact that you have captured in-house the creative, the design, the technology, and the marketing, I think is a perfect example of how companies in our industry are being successful today in the marketplace, because you have control over the things that A, the retailer is concerned about, and B, the customer is concerned about. And so I applaud you for casting that type of a business model where you have total control over everything the retailer and the consumer wants from you. You're not relying on anything on the outside, which, you know, I think is an outstanding business model for people in our industry.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, you've got to have a support system within what you're doing. Otherwise, it makes it far more difficult. And we've developed that support system throughout the years, whether it's from our bench jewelers to our own casting, to our own alloying of metals, to setting our own stones, those type of things, because it does give us control. And it, look, things happen. You can have a ring for 30 years and you lose a stone. If that happens and we made it for you, we're going to replace that stone at no charge for you.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. We give that customer service. As long as you have one of our pieces of jewelry, we take care of it for you.
Excellent point for everybody that listens to the show to know.
Just one more question. All the extra kind of fun get-togethers and stuff that they do at the Westus shows, any chance maybe you might take part in the Top Golf tournament?
You know, I send my son and my other staff over there to take care of that part. They go there and do that. They thoroughly enjoy it.
So. Oh, good, because they need way better golfers than me. So,
Casey's developing a fondness for Top Golf.
Oh, and it's a great time. It's a great time.
So much fun, but
anyway, Kelly, I do appreciate you coming on. I think the story of the company and the way you started with your mom and the way you're doing business now, and you have complete control over all the important things, and obviously a strong market and demand for the product. And I think this has been a great story for our listeners to hear. And thanks for your time.
Mike, good talk to you, Casey. It's very nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much for coming on.
You bet.
The show notes and links from today's show can be found at wisdombywessa.com. And of course, there's feedback. If you have any, we'd love to hear it. There's a contact link on that site.
The Wisdom by Wessa show will be published on the 15th and 30th of every month. You can listen on most of your favorite podcast players, and you can also listen on wisdombywessa.com. Be sure to visit all the great shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Wessa, where the industry meets.